This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Vince McMahon No Chance music from Darius, because I thought Tommy Shepard could just go all Vince McMahon, elbows out, walking down to the ring. Because when you play the Wizards right now, the team he built, you got no chance, baby.
He's cutting promos, strutting to the ring.
He's like, turn off my music. And this week at SummerSlam, I'm challenging everybody in the locker room who wants a piece of Tommy Shepard. He joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. It's a good day to be Tommy Shepard. No
yes,
longer
sir.
The GM. I think Mr. President.
Mr. President, if you please.
No, man. It's always Tommy, and I'm very humbled and very grateful. Sounds like you're caffeinated, so that's a great thing. And
love it.
Glad to be back on the show, man.
Well, 10-3. The Wizards are the best team in the Eastern Conference. No, I do think, though, honestly, Tommy, I mean, you get the gig, and I don't know what you pay attention to or what you don't, but a lot of the people around basketball or even in the market maybe don't know the work you've been putting in and what you do and what you don't do. And they go, well, this guy was with Ernie. You can't just hire Tommy Shepard. Who's Tommy Shepard? You take the Wall.
I get that at the dinner table, man. I know what you're talking about.
So you trade Wall for Westbrook. Westbrook for the three Lakers that come in here that are now Wizards that are balling. I mean, you've been working wonders. This roster's legit. You got to feel like right now you've let everyone know who Tommy Shepard is.
No, I would. I think hopefully everybody knows is we have great people here. And there's so many people that were part of everything that we do. And I'm just grateful for them, you know. And we were able to take care of everybody earlier this summer. And we have a good group that can move forward together. And I think that creates continuity and stability. And those are the kind of things that you can get enough of that and enough good players and enough good coaches. And things start to take root. You know, the hardest thing is to just be patient in this business. And there's so much temptation to cut corners or get something bright and shiny that's maybe better than in your mind than what you have. And the next thing you know, you're just kind of wandering around for years and years. And, you know, that just really is exhausting. And it pisses the fans off and it alienates people. And we're just trying to restore some calm, some continuity, and get people, you know, galvanize our fans that, hey, this is something to get behind. We want this team to be here for our fans, for they something to be proud of, look forward to. And, you know, we've got a long way to go for sure, but it's definitely, it's exciting to see how much progress has been made. And I give so much credit to Wes, you know, what he's been able to do. Wes has been fantastic. And I think the players have bought in.
Yeah, I certainly have, and echo everything you just said, Tom. It's been a lot of fun. So you're going to have to deal with this. We're going to give you a lot of credit here during this interview. So
if we have
you back on when things are going bad, we can do it the other way too. But today's a good day.
Yeah,
to come on.
You're getting credit. So
I'm in charge of the losses. Wes is in charge of the wins.
I love it. So this is kind of the window I want to go through here, Tommy. I've always liked Kyle Kuzma. I say, okay, I feel like I know what he is. He's in L.A. He's, you know, sort of the third banana with a bunch of stars. Can knock down a shot or two. I didn't know he could do this. I had no idea he could rebound like this, defend like this, made these clutch shots. He has been unbelievable, but this isn't what he was doing there. What did you see And then kind of big picture, when you see somebody in a role that maybe isn't what they're going to be for you, how do you prognosticate? How do you look at some of those signs that said, yeah, not only is that a piece I want to target, but I know he can do these things that he may not be doing right now this minute because he's been outstanding.
Well, I think it's just getting him in the right situation. And in this situation here called for so much more of his talent and the things that he does well that he could put on display rather than just kind of be a role player, where in the Lakers it was understandable and he won a ring because of that, being a great role player. You know, Ringo Starr made a ton of money just playing the drums and shutting up in the back. So I understand it, but, you know, Kyle was very, very gifted player in college. He was somebody that came in first year in the league and looked like he was on his way. And then, you know, LeBron comes in, plays your same position. You have to sacrifice. That sacrifice led to him getting a championship ring. But now he's here. We're not asking him to sacrifice as much as we're asking him to just be part of everything that we're doing, and he's bought in. You know, he's never rebounded as well as he's rebounded now. He's never played as many minutes as he's playing now. He's never had, you know, the responsibilities, and those are earned, and he's done all that. So there's nobody to take credit for except for him. But giving him that runway and giving him the belief, I think that's what Wes has done, and he's unlocked another side of Kyle. Like you said, maybe some fans aren't aware of, but we think he's, you know, he's got all-star potential. He's very gifted, very talented guy. But for him to reach where he's got to go, you know, it's going to be a group effort. For him to be a successful player in the NBA, it's going to take, you know, the things that he's doing right now, plus, you know, everybody else buying in. In nights when we're playing Cleveland and Bradley, you know, our best player goes to him down the stretch and gets him the game-winning shot, that's because he believes in Kyle, and he also knows how to make the right play. And when you have your best player making the right play, everybody else has to fall in line with that. Kyle's a very selfless player, and then, you know, that night thing wasn't going good for him against New Orleans, and he came in at the end of the game, drained two huge threes. You know, that changed the whole game, and that's the kind of player that we were really excited to see.
ESPN's Bobby Marks today said that he thought that the trade that brought Kuzma, Harrell, KCP, and some of the moves that trade allowed for, it was one of the best moves of the last 20 years. We'll see if it continues to work out the way that it has so far. But the guy that made that trade is with us now, Tommy Shepard. Today, the promotion, several of members of his staff getting promoted based on just all the successes, really dating back to last year from a roster-building standpoint. Wizards, number one team in the East right now. I want to stay with the trio that came over from L.A. for a second and talk about Montrezl Harrell. Similar question, but did you guys expect this? Like, did you project you could get him back to that Clippers version? Because he had numbers like this, 18-9 or so, when he was with the Clippers. Some people thought he was going toward a max contract. Did you think he could get right back to that?
You know what? He always had it in him, and we saw it firsthand. He put some lumps on our head a couple of times with the Clippers. But, you know, each one of those guys had their own profile that existed. It's not like we knew a secret about them or anything. It's just getting them back to the opportunities. And Trez is so comfortable coming in off the bench, injecting energy, injecting his will, and it really lifts everybody up. And that those minutes are there, you know, and they're there, and it's been great. It's tough, too, you know, because when you come to a new situation in the way that he's blended in, it's not easy to do because, it involves sacrifice on somebody's part. And our guards have done a great job of getting the ball and feeding the beast down there. He does an unbelievable job of getting rebounds and getting out in transition, and he takes on all challengers, and he makes big plays. And that stuff is just so contagious. And that's where, for us, would I say that we thought he would do this? I'm just happy that he is. I'm not surprised. We're grateful. That's probably the best word I could say. We're just so grateful for him. I cannot say enough about Pope. You know what? KCP's brought to us the defensive toughness, the blue guy that you can count on. You know, I call him Pro. That's my name for him. He's just such a pro in everything that he does. He can not have a shot the entire game, then hit a game winner for you. He can guard the toughest guy on the other team every night, which is what we're really asking him to do. You know, he just kind of calmly, quietly goes about his business. And then I just can't say enough about Kyle, like we've already talked about. So those three have been huge, and, you know, I'm really pleased with what they brought to the team.
So, Tommy, this is all through the lens of, you know, the best start in more than 40 years, certainly in my lifetime. What have you been most pleased with here at the start of the season? Just, you know, it could be something little, something big, whatever. And what do you say? You know what? We got to get better at that.
I think by far the assimilation of the players in Wes and his staff has by far exceeded my expectations. They've been great. You know, first time head coach, it's hard. But, you know, I use the example with Wes. Wes was hiding in broad daylight in the league. I mean, he interviewed for other jobs. He was a known commodity. I know him personally. He's been a friend. I was at his wedding. We kept up over the years. And we interviewed a ton of people. And when we went through that process, it was very thorough for a reason. I wanted to make sure we found the right person. And we said, here's our non-negotiables. And these are our pillars. If we stick to them, the person will appear. And it kept showing Wes every round that we went through interview-wise. So he came in and did what he's doing, surprising nobody that worked with him. But I think around the league, people are still shocked when a rookie head coach can do what he's doing. Like everybody said, we haven't done anything yet, but the results after 13 games, I think Wes has been an MVP for us. And I think our players all buying in and blending in together, that's been huge. I think what we got to do a better job of is really trying to get off to great starts in the first quarter and trying to make sure that we do everything possible to keep guys really focused early in the game so we don't have to have these huge comebacks late in the game. You know, those get a little exhausting training. They're fun for the fans when you win, but it's not so fun when we kick the game because we weren't ready to play up in Brooklyn. You know, I look forward to the next time we play them. We have a bad first quarter. The rest of the game we outscored them, but it didn't matter because they did a number on us in the first quarter. So learn from that. Learn from the lesson, and hopefully we can apply that.
That was one of just three losses so far this season for the Wizards. It's a good sign, Danny, when you go, which of the couple losses was that one that he's referring to? Like, you remember them all, right?
I remember
because
each one,
there's
yeah.
only been three to deal with. Hey, Tommy, I mean yeah. this question respectfully here, but I wonder if when you were talking about the process with Wes, who you knew so well, if that in some way can work against him a little bit too. In the same way, like when you're hired by Ted, people go, well, wait a second. How thorough and great was this search if the GM was just the guy that was already in your building, right? And you've now proven that you were the right guy for the job to this point. Same thing with Wes. When you hire him, I remember one of the things that gets said is, so wait a second. You mean to tell me they did this thorough search, they interviewed everyone, and the best guy on the planet is the son of the most famous player in the organization's history who was an assistant here and Tommy was at his wedding. Now, it turns out this guy is a damn good coach
yep.
and he's the right hire.
Yeah.
But do you worry about that at all or does that work against him? Like, we better be sure here just based on the perception or is that not a factor?
It wasn't. Honestly, it wasn't a factor. You get over very quickly the opinions of the outside world because they don't have to live this, you know, never take advice from somebody who doesn't have to live with the results, you know. Like, I listened very carefully to people, and we went through that interview process. It was extremely thorough, and, you know, down to talking to former players, current players, everybody that Wes interacted with, along with the knowledge that I had working with him years ago. And the person, the character, personality traits, being so meticulous and knowing the game inside and out, I mean, those were the things that absolutely translated. You get around to seeing his last name, and that's great, and that's kind of a neat story, but it had nothing to do with why we hired. We hired the best person.
And, why do you think the players buy in so much? You keep talking about the assimilation or the quick buy-in. What
yeah.
about his presence has allowed for that?
Because he knows his stuff inside and out. You know, he got, like you said, he got some guys from the Lakers that play with LeBron and won rings, and Trez won a ring in college with Patino, and you got Bradley Beal, who's an all-NBA player, multi all-star, and those guys, you know, you bring in somebody new, it's kind of like the substitute teacher comes in. They're going to size him up and they're going to try to test him and see what he knows and why don't we do it this way, why don't we do this way. And he just commands a room, and because he's so respectful, I think he includes players. He really does ask people's opinions, and if they're, you know, these guys are out there every night, they're guarding, they know the personnel better than anybody. If they say, hey, why don't we try it this way, if Wes firmly believes in what he does, he says, you know what, we'll do it that way if my way doesn't work. And that gets players engaged. But if he sees that their idea is better, he'll say, you know what, you're right, let's do it your way. That kind of humility goes a long way with players because players are wrong a lot too, and they know that. And they need their coach to look over there and say, keep going, you're doing fine, don't worry. They need confidence. They need to always have that person in their corner, and that's who Wes is. He's a celebrator of people, and I think our players have really bought into that.
Tell me, I've asked Mike Rizzo this question in different forms over the years when the Nats were, you know, winning 90-some games a year, World Series. They're competitive for a really long time. It's tough to develop young players who can't get all the playing time and all the at-bats while this team is competitive with veterans, and their window is open for excellence. I'm looking at Corey Kispert. I love Corey's game. I think there's a lot there. I love the way he plays with energy, and I think he's going to start knocking down shots. But it's hard to develop when you're 10-3. If you're going to lose 60 games, go out there and screw up, young man. I think it's such a huge underrated challenge developmentally in this league, as we see Denny Avdia kind of carving out a nice role for himself here as a defensive stopper in this moment. But that's another challenge that's kind of going on here. How do you walk that line in terms of development but staying really, really good?
Well, the great thing for us is, you know, we have the proximity of the go-go in our own building. There's a time where there's an opportunity to play more minutes and you're out of the rotation, we'll certainly take advantage of that. Corey's in the rotation right now. And he, you know, the ball doesn't pop all the time, that's for sure. But I look at all the other things that he does, the intangibles. And, you know, he guards, he rebounds, he runs the floor. He's an excellent passer. And the gravity of him, no matter what, they have to account for him. So they're going to follow him, and that's going to open up lanes for other people. Not worried about him in the least. Isaiah Todd is here with us, and he'll go to Miami with us and then fly Friday morning to play in a go-go game on Friday, come back, be ready with us on Saturday. Like, we have him doing a million different things. And for those young players, they just cannot possibly get enough repetitions. And so if it's for Corey, if he goes to the go-go to utilize, get extra minutes, great. But right now he's in the rotation, and I don't know how we're going to knock him out. He really is an effective player. Isaiah, I look at him as the future. And one of those kind of guys that you can't really pay attention too much right now. And to your point, throw him out there at 10-3. He's not going to get a lot of at-bats, but we can put him on the go-go and he can do what he's doing quietly and develop his game and just be ready. And at some point during this season, he's going to help us win a game. I promise you guys, that's just how the world goes in the NBA. And to have him ready for that moment is going to be big. And Wes, I wouldn't be surprised Wes throws him a couple minutes on this trip just to see how he responds. And to reward him, he's playing well with the go-go. But, you know, sometimes you want to make sure he understands and appreciates how hard it is to get NBA minutes.
Tommy, is there a point in this season, if you guys sustain what you're doing, and I get it, it's going to be tough to play at a 770 clip the rest of the way, but where you would have to alter your plan a little bit, would you be willing to do that if it meant maybe adding a resource or two to try to stay up high in the Eastern Conference standings, or all of a sudden you start thinking about maybe we can mess around and go on a deep run? Is that something you'd be willing to do this year when maybe that wasn't the expectation at the start of the year?
I think my job's always to do what's best for the Wizards, and stuff comes up all the time you got to look at. But I think the best thing for this team is the continuity, the stability, continue to gel. They love each other. They're playing well together. I don't want to mess that up. And the only way I can see anything happening on that is if it's something that, if I asked you guys, I called the show and said, "Grant, Danny, we got this deal. What would you guys do?" You say, "Hell yeah." Then that's the kind of deal that usually comes up. You know what I mean? Like, the no-brainers, they're pretty easy. But it's so hard to find a no-brainer. And, you know, the only way a trade is made, trades are very seldom made in one call. They're usually a series of about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months of grinding away and knowing your peers and knowing what's important to them. What do they need? And do we have anything that we can mount line up? And, you know, I'm on the phones all the time simply because that's part of this job. And, you know, mostly because I have a lot of friends in the league and we all like to chop it up. But to get better, I think so much of it's going to have to come from within. I don't think there's one player out there we can bring in that's going to change the entire franchise.
Well, if you get one of those offers and you're mulling it, you got our number. We'll do it off air. We'll do it on air. However you want to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, every time I call, your line's busy. You guys always got people blowing up the phones and stuff. And you got a big show today. And, you know, that's great. That's a testament to your success. I'm really happy for you guys. And really grateful to have me on.
No, it's awesome, man. This is a blast. This is so much fun. Congrats on everything, promotion. Great start to the season, everything else, man. It's been really, really cool to see. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. So we appreciate it, man.
Hey. Just promise me that's the last time we use titles on the show, or unless I start calling you guys kingpins or whatever. I gotta bow down to you guys. But I just, only title that matters is the one Milwaukee has, and that's where we're trying to get to someday. Amen. And it's going to take a lot of effort, but I like where we're headed.
If you guys can get there, we'll all go eat the Giannis. What did he do? The 50 nuggets and the lemonade or something?
I'll eat 50 nuggets, man.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Tommy, thank you. Appreciate you.
Hey. You guys have a great one, man. Take care.
You too, pal.
Be well. The Wizards are 10-3. They have the best record in the Eastern Conference as they get ready to play right here on the Fan in about 45 minutes.
Tough week for them. Charlotte's good. Miami's very good. This is a sort of, you know, a tough one. You end up with 2 out of 3 this week. It's great. No shame in maybe even going 1-2. But this group's off to an amazing start. Beal will be back tonight. Give him a nice little lift.
D.C. double dip tonight right here on the Fan.
Little Mississippi two-piece.
Got the Wizards coming up at 7 and the Caps coming up in the 10 o'clock window. When you say Mississippi two-piece, I was wondering this earlier and I actually Googled it and I couldn't find anything. What is that?
I don't know where I got
What's
it from.
From?
I know a coach used to say it when someone would get two punches.
So it's not from a movie or something.
I don't know where it's from. I know that he used to call it a Mississippi two-piece. When the ref wasn't looking, you get the guy with the 1-2.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yes.
So it's like two punches to the stomach?
Yeah.
That's funny. I had no file. Oh, thanks to Tommy Shepard. Thanks to Jonathan Allen. Awesome show today. We also had John Carlson on. If you missed that, you can hear it in a minute. Podcast everything, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Back at it at 2 o'clock. If you missed Carly, again, keep it right here. Caught up with him from L.A. ahead of tonight's game. Big thanks to Darius and Ryan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.